This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The gospel is supposed to be good news, friends. It's supposed to be very good news, but there's a gap in the gospel. Well, there's a gap in the representation of the gospel, because God has his mind on men, but men don't have their minds on God. There's a problem. And because men don't have their minds on God, there's a terrible gap in our culture and in the church in this very dangerous hour of world history and American society. So we want to talk about that here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and listening to today's program, it should and could be transformative for many men, and for many families, and for many marriages, and for many congregations, and perhaps for many cities, even for our country. And so it's a clarion call for men to stand in that gap, because there's a gap in the gospel. The gap is that men are here to be the key leaders to enable the good news to go out. This isn't just an evangelistic kind of conversation, because the gospel is more than just evangelistic. In fact, if you go to Jesus' instructions to his disciples before he ascended back to the Father in Matthew 28, he said, yeah, you should go and make disciples, teaching them to observe or to obey everything that I've commanded. Notice the thrust of the Great Commission is not evangelism. That's baby making. No, the thrust is to make disciples, men making, women making. In other words, to really build strong people who will represent God as salt and light in the culture. Well, our special guest today, Dr. James Grassi, is the founder and president of Men's Ministry Catalyst. And he's been involved in a lot of things, believe it or not. I think he must be older than I am. An award-winning author, former business leader, public administrator, college professor, outdoor and sport personality. Wow. Ministry of the Year Award for the National Coalition of Ministries to Men. We got to talk to this guy because he's interested in men. And I was just sharing with him before the program that I've been involved in personal ministry to men since about 1978. That's a fur piece back, Jim, and I welcome you to the program today.
Chuck, it's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners, and I'm excited what God wants us to discuss this day.
Well, you're up there near Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And that name has to do with the heart. I learned enough French to know that. And men are supposed to be the heart of God's work. They're the anchor for the family, the anchor for the church, and so on. And whatever happened to us?
Well, to my mind, Chuck, there's clear evidence that all the problems in society can be traced back, in my mind, to fathers being uninvolved in the lives of their children and their family.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of men have lost their way. They've either stepped back or totally got out of the picture. Or with the younger generation, too many men are just sitting on the couch with their remote control or their Game Boys.
Well, I agree with that. You use the metaphor, the military metaphor, of men going AWOL and absent without leave. God has not given them leave, but they're absent. A lot of men who are listening may say, well, I'm not absent. I'm at my home. I live at my home. My kids are there, my grandkids, my wife. I'm at home. The problem with that is, as my wife used to say to me, you're here, but you're not all there.
Yeah, I've heard that too. there was a big part of my life, Chuck, that I grew up, as you probably did with parents that went through the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those of us like with your credentials are pretty impressive, too, that we tried to work harder. We tried to be important rather than do what's important.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You said we try to be important rather than do what's mm-hmm. important. Wow.
Right.
So isn't that kind of what James, the brother of Jesus, said? Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves?
Yeah, but when we get our priorities out of balance, and when the doing is about trying to self-promote or to promote ourselves in some way,
mm-hmm.
Rather than making family, God family first, we lose our way, and that's what happened to me as a young dad.
Well, you know, I'm thinking back into the 1970s, around 1977. I had graduated from law school. I had taken the bar exam in California, the hardest bar exam in the country, and I was waiting for the results. And along came a particular ministry called Basic Life Conflicts Ministry.
Uh-huh.
And we don't need to go into the leadership and all of that, but it was a very tremendous, it gained a lot of momentum during uh-huh. those years. And my wife and I made a commitment during the months awaiting for the bar exam to come out that the results, to attend that conference, which was an all-week conference, 5 nights a week, an all-day Friday and all-day Saturday. Quite a commitment for somebody who was trying to get into the practice of law, but I did. And as a result of that, God began to open my mind and my heart, Jim, to see myself as a Christian man. The way I saw myself was not the way God saw me. And I was living for Christ, actually. I mean, I didn't eat, drink, or chew. I didn't go with women that did. I was true and faithful and so on, working hard and so on. But I did not have a true biblical, manly vision for God's purpose in my life, to be one who would be the watchman standing in the gap, and be willing to stand, and having done all to stand, having my mind and heart girt with truth, and to convey that to my family. And as a result of that seminar, I made a commitment to the Lord that from that day on, I would spend quality time in His Word every single day without fail, no matter what. No matter what I was doing, no matter where I was, whether on vacation or whatever. And I have kept that vow since that date, 1977. It made all the difference, and I wouldn't be here on the radio with you today talking about men and being a watchman on the wall if God hadn't had to get my attention big time. We'll be right back after this, friends, with our new guest, Jim Grassi, the Watchman, a clarion call for men to stand in the gap. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
In 1992, the Lord thrust the message that He gave to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3 and 4 right in front of my face and basically said this: Son, I want you to speak to my church at large, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. No, you're not speaking to a people of strange speech or a hard language, but you're speaking to my people. Do not be afraid of their words, neither be dismayed at their looks, for they are most rebellious. Whoa. I have never, ever been able to forget it. The interpretation of that by our guest today, Jim Grassi, is the call to be a watchman. Jim, you've been called to be a watchman too, haven't you?
I have, and it's, you know, we haven't met, but my journey and the things that inspired me are exactly parallel to your experience. My come-to-Jesus moment as far as fatherhood and biblical manhood came at a Jim Dobson conference. It was the first time he spoke at Mount Hermon, California. And here was this young guy, and on the way down, I'd been asked by the couple that was with us, what's the secret to good parenting? I said, just spend quality time with your kids. We weren't in that seminar for more than 10 minutes when Dobson put that myth to rest, and I thought I was a dead man. My life had been... I grew up without, I had a father, but he suffered from depression. I didn't have a spiritual mentor in my life, and I was grabbing at things, whether it was tournament fishing, writing articles for sport magazines, being on board of directors, running a city or whatever, that those things would fulfill me. And after that Dobson conference, it changed my life. And in 1978, I did a U-turn, and I came to grips with what God wanted me to do rather than what I wanted to do. And then that following summer, I met a young pastor back at Mount Hermon at a family camp who didn't have a book at the time. And his name was Chuck Swindle.
Really?
And he said, you teach me how to fish, and I'll teach you how to mentor men.
Wow.
And we became fast friends, and he became a mentor of mine. And I owe Jim Dobson and Chuck Swindle a lot of accolades for their putting up with this stubborn Italian boy from East Oakland.
Well, that's terrific. You know, you were mentioning that Jim Dobson conference, and just to kind of tie things together here, the year before when we went to that Basic Youth Conflict Seminar, guess who our friends who accompanied us drove down there to Long Beach for it? Were Jim Dobson's first secretary for Focus on the Family. And her husband. Yeah.
How about that?
Okay, well, so much for tying things together historically. You say America is the most fatherless nation in the world. That's what I believe. That's what I understand to be true. What you did not know is that a few years ago I wrote a book called Hearts of the Fathers, How to Leave a Legacy That Lasts. And all of that is set forth there. So you and I are on the same wavelength here. God has a message for men. What has happened to men? How is it we have gone AWOL?
I believe there's a couple things that have happened. First of all, we know that the father's absence, in my mind, and I think yours too, is the most critical social issue of our time. As we look at these statistics and we're hearing on the radio, even today, as I was listening to news at noontime, so much of what we have, whether it's poverty, racial issues, social issues, whatnot, stem down from the lack of good, responsible fathers in the home. Chuck, when you think about it, 50% of our nation, the kids today of those families go to bed with no biological father in the home, 50%.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And so we've seen a corruption of our society because of this left movement, this progressive movement. We've seen men step away from family, and a couple things. One, men have stepped back. In some cases, have stepped away from the home. In other cases, they may be in the home, but they're not focused on being the mentor to their family.
In other words, we're in the home, but not of the home.
That's right. And then the second thing that happened when the feminist movement took off, mm-hmm. and I think you and I, Chuck, would support some of the goals of that movement of women getting equal pay, women being able to be in management positions. Those are a number of things a lot of us supported. But if you'll recall, during the Promise Keeper movement, I was involved in that the women were out picketing in front of the conferences because they thought this was terrible that men should meet to talk about how to be better husbands and fathers.
Well, that's right, because a famous actress said publicly on the global, in one of those events, down with patriarchy.
Right.
Down with patriarchy. And so the whole instance of the culture, the pressure of the culture has been to undermine men. And you can understand why, because as manhood has been undermined, so has Godhood as Father been undermined. And guess what's happened to fill the gap? The worship of Mother Earth. That's what environmentalism. So a gap will always be filled by something else, and usually it's not for the better, is it?
No. And a few years ago during the Kavanaugh hearings, when I felt biblical manhood was being challenged in a very direct way, I wrote a book called Act Like Men, Be Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And this book was picked up as by Promise Keepers as one of their top books. And what did that book do? It provided a biblical guidance for men to know what God expects of them and what biblical manhood looks like, and that it's good. In fact, it's not only good, it's needed in this world today, for sure. And that put me in the crosshairs of many feminists, progressive types,
mm-hmm.
that felt I was standing up for something that they should just brush away and pretend like it's not happening. And so the Watchmen book was really a response, a sequel to Act Like Men, because it talks about the fact that, as you opened the program so eloquently, that we ought to be the watchmen for our homes, for our churches, for our nation.
Right. Okay, well, the book, friends, is $10. It's on our website, saveus.org, The Watchmen. Yours for $10. Just give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Again, saveus.org, or call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us. If you're writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Now, Jim, what is the gap that has been left? How would you describe the gap that I opened up with, the gap in the gospel that men have left open? Is it just about the culture, or is it something deeper?
I think it's something deeper.
So do I.
We've seen this gap since the fall of man. When we think about where was Adam when Eve was being tempted.
You got that right, brother.
The cool of the day, he was standing and watching. Where are we today? A lot of men, they're standing and watching. And as we trace through the biblical references of various cultures of what was going on, we've seen this continue. And I loved the fact that you went to Ezekiel in your opening, because in Ezekiel 2 and 3, we see God, just as you testified, speaking directly to Ezekiel, calling him to put out a call to be a watchman,
yeah,
to encourage others to fight against culture.
And he said that you yourself, Ezekiel, are a watchman. Yep. In fact, he said, I've given you a head of flint. Don't be afraid of what they say. Don't be afraid of what they do, the fun they make at you, whatever it is. Don't be afraid of those things. You are to stand up as a man and fill the gap.
And so, Chuck, we're putting ourselves in the crosshair again.
Oh, there you go, Jim.
There'll be those listeners that what I'm about to say, they're going to say, this is one angry, chauvinistic man. And I am not either angry or chauvinistic, but I am going to speak biblical truth. Barna Research points out that 50% of the pastors today lean towards wokeism. That's impacting and affecting our families, our culture, our very nation. And Ezekiel spoke to this whole issue and about not only standing in a gap, but being a watchman. And when we look at Ezekiel, what was he, Chuck? He was a priest. He was a priest, mm-hmm, and a prophet. And so our priests and prophets today are our pastors. And they're not standing up for biblical values. They're afraid to speak biblical truth on tough issues.
So the question is why? The question is not what they're doing or not doing, but why are they doing it or not doing it? Nobody wants to talk about that. What do you think?
I believe, Chuck, that they're doing this because they're afraid to lose their paycheck.
Oh, you mean
the
love of money is still the root of all evil?
Yep, because here's the thing. If my congregation goes down because I'm not tickling their ears and trying to placate everybody out there, no matter what their sin is, then, my church, I'm not going to be able to boast at the next pastor's association I have 500 people in my church, because I've lost some people because I'm declaring biblical truth, just like Ezekiel was told to do.
You're absolutely right. I use the phrase power, perks, and position. It was the same thing that crucified Jesus. The very same thing and motivation that crucified Jesus is what keeps many of our leaders, in fact, fathers, from actually leading their families and telling the truth. So if it's the truth that will make us free, as Jesus said, then why is it that we're so afraid of the truth? Well, it's because we risk power, perks, and position. And I appreciated your going back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Isn't it interesting that God spoke to Adam? God created Adam in his image and told him, you can eat of all the trees here, just not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat thereof, you will surely die. So did you notice, I know you have, that Satan did not attack Adam. He attacked Eve. Now, why did Satan attack Eve? Because her nature was one tending more toward the feeling end of things rather than Adam's. That's how God made women. That's not a diminutive thing. That's not a demeaning thing. That's just the nature. They're nurturers. And so Satan didn't go for Adam. He went for Eve and asked her whether God had said. So he spun a web around that, marketing his rebellion, and seduced her by causing her to look at what she could see with her eyes and feel with her mind. So she goes to Adam and she says, hey, husband, look at this. This is amazing. Look at this. We've got to get into this because we're told that we can be like God. Did Adam resist at all? No. He said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I'm going to have to go along with it. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries.
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
In these final two segments of our program here today, we're going to focus particularly on how a man can stand in the gap. What does God require of us, helping us to catch a vision for what that means? To get into the depths of it, get a copy of Jim Grassi's book, The Watchman, A Clarion Call for Men to Stand in the Gap. $10 will put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $5 for postage and handling. Now, Jim, I want to read an excerpt from your book here. Men who try to make a difference and set an example and direction for the family to follow are vital to the health of the family. We're to be conquerors, victors, and advocates for justice and biblical truth who hold evildoers at bay, which Adam did not do with his wife, and keep them from entering our homes, which Adam did not do with his wife. Then you talk about Dr. Tony Evans in his book, Kingdom Men. And here's what he said. When a kingdom man steps out his door each day, heaven, earth, and hell take notice. When he protects the woman under his care, she can do little to resist him. His children look to him with confidence. Other men look to him as someone to emulate. His church calls on him for strength and leadership. He's a preserver of culture and champion of society to keep out evil and usher in good. A kingdom man understands that God never said a godly life would be easy. He just said it would be worth it. A kingdom man. I think the biggest problem that we have is we don't have very many kingdom men out there. We're not talking about people coming to Christ. We're talking about people who claim to be in Christ who are not kingdom men. What do you say?
I agree totally with your last comment there. And what I say, Chuck, is this, that for decades, the church has become more effective in its approach to theology, its approach to even decor. Mm-hmm. Men have been left out. More women are joining the board or the board of elders or whatever pastors in churches today, which that's a whole other biblical argument.
And then we have to ask the question again, why is that? You know, when I came out with my book, Hearts of the Fathers, Leaving a Legacy That Lasts, guess what, Jim? Two-thirds of those books were purchased by women.
That's right.
Now, why do you think that is?
Well, it's clear that in if you go to a Bible bookstore, 80% of the books are bought by women.
True.
Even after 21 books that I've done, most of them are being bought by women for their men, because women have an innate desire, Christian women, that I want to empower my husband to step up and be the watchman, the protector, the provider, the priest of our home, and women want that.
Exactly.
Women do.
So what women have done for 30 years has been crying out, why can't or won't my husband be the spiritual leader of my home?
And I believe part of that falls on the pastor's shoulders. That when you think about 50% of our pastors today were raised in a home where there is no biblical biological father.
Whoa.
They do not understand mentoring. They do not understand men. 33% of the pastors of 1,100 churches we've worked with in 44 years, 33% of the pastors did not want a strong, vibrant ministry to men program in their church. They were afraid of men. And somehow we've
incredible.
Got to get over this.
I agree with you, but it's incredible. And I think part of the reason is there's a fear that if I disciple somebody, like Paul discipling Timothy, that Timothy might actually end up exceeding me, and then what am I going to do for my ministry?
Exactly, and I think also there's the whole idea of transparency, that the more a pastor is transparent with his congregation and let them know that he, too, is fighting these battles against Satan, the more that men's hearts open up to that. But when a pastor wants to stand up as an idol, as somehow he's above all the fray, men just get turned off at that. I'll stay home because I can't ever be as perfect as Pastor Jones or Smith.
Yeah. So the question that I would have for you as we move forward here is, what is the most important thing for a man to stand in the gap? The most fundamental thing. We're speaking to Christians now. We're speaking to Christians. What's the most fundamental thing for a man to stand in the gap and fulfill God's requirement for his life?
I think the guidance for that comes from God's word. And from what Paul experienced as he spoke to the people in Corinth, who were a lot like the men, many men today, and in Corinthians 16:13-14, answering your question, I would use his words. Be on alert, in other words, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, meaning act with maturity and care and love, be strong, and let all you do be done in love. That's one of my favorite verses I've memorized.
Well, your previous book was premised on that, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think, because of my passion, sometimes I sound very judgmental. I'm not.
No, I don't hear that at all.
Okay, one of the key things that I feel, Chuck, that we have to remember to do is that despite our disagreement with a lot of the way the world is going today, we have to remember, let all we do be done in love. And so those people who disagree with us, I still love them. I may not love their sin. I want to help them. And that's where pastors need to stand in the gap, Chuck, is they need to bring these people into the church, not put them in leadership positions as they're doing now, but to bring them in the church to help them to see what God really has as a plan for their lives.
All right. We're talking about Christian men, though, professing Christian men. And it seems to me that if Jesus said that the Word of God was foundational, if the psalmist says that the Word of God is foundational, if the Apostle Paul says the Word of God is foundational, then it seems to me that the most missing link as to why men have gone AWOL is they really do not truly honor, respect, and obey the Word of God.
Amen.
They're out to do their own thing. They want to go to church. Yeah. They want to claim the benefits of the faith, the blessings of the faith, without carrying the burden of their responsibility.
You're right on target. It's about alignment, isn't it, Chuck?
It sure is.
Alignment with God.
That's what God had to get my attention on so many years ago.
Man, me too. And my garage door didn't work the other day. And I called the repairman, because I thought the motor had gone out or something. He says, go down. There's two canisters there. They need to be in alignment. They need to be in alignment.
Mm.
And when they are, the light goes on, the door will open. Now, I could have sat there and broke my back trying to lift that door on my own power.
Uh-huh.
But once the two canisters were in alignment, I just pushed the button, the door opened. And so it is with us as godly men, that when we're in alignment with God and his plan for being a father, for being a husband, for being a Christian, for being a disciple who makes disciples, when we're in alignment with his word, life will still have pain, but the difference is that we can work through that with the power of Christ in our life.
Yeah. There are things that we can do that James said, be you doers of the word and not just hearers. Most men are what I would call hearers of the word. They will go to church and they'll sit there and they say, also, also, wasn't that a good message? Mm-hmm. But they don't do anything about it. They don't catch the vision. Now, isn't it interesting? In the business world, you have all these motivational speakers that are trying to get people to catch the vision for how to be successful, how to do this, how to do that. Why is it that that same understanding doesn't seem to capture men when it comes to Christ?
You're exactly right. And because we have so watered down the word, and we have gotten so many pastors have gotten off the pathway to help men realize the Christian experience is an adventure. It's risk-taking. It's rewarding. It has challenges. And we have failed to disciple men. That's where it comes down to. The women have done a great job. Women will go to other women for help and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We become isolated. We become fearful. We become afraid that, you know, Barna Research again said, today, 60% of Americans, men and women, are afraid to speak biblical truth because the leftists out there will throw rocks, so to speak, defensively, mm-hmm. at their windows. So consequently, we have people not speaking truth. We have men not leading but being led, and people are backing down. We're soft.
Yeah.
As a society, we've become soft.
You know what? People see Jesus as a softy, but
No. He
was soft toward those who were not believers, but he was tough as nails toward those who professed to be believers. Mm-hmm. We need to have that kind of understanding. Tender-hearted and tough-minded. We'll talk about that when we get back, and how to translate that as men into our families first. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
What a delight it is to be able to talk with God's people here every single day, Monday through Friday, for almost 29 years now, dealing with the most difficult issues touching America's hearts and homes from God's eternal perspective. And that's really the only perspective that really matters, friends. That's the only viewpoint that really matters. If we don't please God, anybody else we're pleasing, we have to question whether it's right. We really do. So how do we please God as men? Where does it begin? Well, as Julie Andrews once said, let's start at the very beginning. The very beginning, the very best place to start. Well, the very beginning is the family. You see, God ordained the family as the microcosm of his church, a husband and a wife. Did you notice that until there was a husband and a wife, a family, Satan didn't enter into the picture? Only when they were married did Satan enter in the picture to cause division and dissonance. You see, and that's where the man failed. He failed when Satan entered the picture. Adam. Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. So men, our job is to stand in the gap and be the men, the head of the home as God designed it. And head of the home doesn't mean just making a living, does it, Jim?
No. And let's define, Chuck, what it means to stand in the gap. There may be some listeners who are unfamiliar with that expression. And that really comes from the Old Testament, and it's used a couple times, but we find it especially in the book of Nehemiah, where the wall around the temple in various places was broken down. And a man was to go to the gap in front of his home and to repair that gap. But he had difficulty doing that because they were being attacked. There were marauders and people trying to come through the gap to get into the temple. And so he was required to do two things: have a sword strapped to his side and stand in the gap and repair that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Chuck, in a loving way, that's what we want to encourage men that might be listening today,
yeah,
and women, to encourage their men to stand in the gap during this time, this critical time in our country.
Absolutely.
Where our culture is under attack, and to stand in the gap and to be prepared to stand up for values that we talk about in the book, stand in the gap for family, stand in the gap for God's word, stand in the gap for our pastors, that we have to love them and encourage them, stand in the gap for those causes that are of God, and not be afraid of what the culture is going to say or do.
Yeah.
That we need to stand in the gap.
Here's where I find the greatest weakness. The greatest weakness is that people, men, can understand everything you just said. But when it comes to actually being a doer of that with their own family, they have no knowledge, no understanding of how to do it, and no will to do what they understand. So I want to give a couple of illustrations. I grew up in a pastor's home. My father was a pastor for 50 years. And we were in a variety of different congregations across the country. I know what the body of Christ looks like the back of my hand. And his parents were both pastors. And my mother's parents were both leaders in the Salvation Army. So I have that heritage. But the reality is that not one of them ever really caught the picture, the vision of truly being a godly father in every respect to their families. Not one of them. They saw their ministry. They saw the people that they were pastoring and so on. They were tough on their kids, but they did not see the greater kingdom vision. I determined in 1978, after I went to that basic youth conflict seminar, this is going to change. And from that moment on, the kingdom vision for the family, for my kids, my wife, and so on, was what commanded my attention. Yes, the law practice I did, I worked hard, had a great law practice. Yes, I served on a lot of boards and mentored and spoke in groups all over Southern California at that time. But as my wife would say, every night, Chuck was at the family table. Every night, he was ushering in the kids in discussion about applying the kingdom of God to their lives. Every night before they went to bed, we were sitting together with my arms around my daughters, and I was sharing the word of God with them in a living kind of a way, with a story, not reading a story, but telling them, sharing it from the heart, so that they would grasp the gravamen of the kingdom of God and what he was looking for in their lives. And they remember it to this day. And the eldest one that I began with doing that when she was a baby is now my right hand in this ministry.
Oh, praise God.
I tell you, Jim, you have to catch the vision. Is it too late to catch the vision? I say no.
And again, the parallels in our life, that sounds like our home and our family. I'm proud to say that both our boys are in ministry full time. Both are worship leaders in mega churches, and they have that heart. But see, it started with what we call discipleship in the purest form, which is with our wives and with our family first. And that's what I missed the first 37 years of my life, is I did not see that. But thanks to that Jim Dobson conference we spoke of earlier, I did. And I think what I'd want to say to encourage those who are listening is a non-biblical quote that I like to use. It's from Edward Everett Hale.
Oh, yeah, I love this one.
And think about this. I am only one, but still, I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. And so, listeners, like Chuck and myself, it may be a conference that you attend on parenting or being a better husband or going to church, whatever it is, or getting down with God's word, just reading the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that there is something you can do. Do that one thing. Be that father. Be that guy, that spiritual mentor is what we call discipleship today. Spiritually mentoring your children. Start there. Don't try to worry about a international ministry at this point. Just
exactly.
Start with your family.
Exactly.
That's where Chuck and I had to start. And I just encourage the listeners.
Still doing it to this day. Still doing it to this day.
Amen.
It's the most important ministry that my wife and I have, that I have as a father, as a husband, as a grandfather now with 12 grandchildren. It is so incredibly important. God is going to hold us responsible as men for what we did or not do with the trust that he has given to us to be husbands and fathers who had a kingdom vision, not a church-going vision, a vision for the kingdom of God and to raise up sons and daughters accordingly. What say you?
Amen. We have to start somewhere, and the best place to start is at home and with those, as you say, that have been entrusted to us. And by the way, I would just say this. Remember earlier in the broadcast, I said 50%, according to Barna, of our young people today will grow up in a home where there's no biological father.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an older guy like Chuck and I, and you're wondering where...
Hey, watch your tongue, young man.
Where is your ministry? All you need to do is open your front door, look to the left and look to the right. And 50% of those young kids running around wondering what to do with their lives do not have a father in a home as a mentor. Get outside your door, invite those kids to come along with you and your family or to be engaged with those kids, because right now, male young people are suffering. Suicide rates up 4 to 5 times higher than it was 20 years ago with young males because they lack mentors. They lack people in their lives that will encourage them, that will bless them, that will help guide them.
You know, Jim, sociologists have said, and I'm in agreement with what you said, sociologists have said that fatherlessness is the greatest curse on our nation today. That all the other statistics that we complain about can be traced exactly to fatherlessness. But here's my bigger concern. I'm concerned about fatherlessness in that sense. But what I'm even more concerned about is fatherlessness in the homes of Christian men who purport to be Christian men, but in really, in fact, are not living a kingdom life. They are actually pretenses of fathers, not living the life of a true father. And we know an account, one of the most horrendous accounts in Scripture, is there in the book of Samuel, where a priest by the name of Eli refused to govern his kids, refused to govern even when they were adults. He refused to correct them. And God said, you know what? I am going to cut off your name from the history of Israel. There will not be a male who will survive to tell the tale about your heritage and Eli. He lost both of his sons at one moment, and as the wife of one of those sons was giving birth, she called him Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. I don't know about you, Jim. I don't want to have that epitaph written over my life. The glory has departed. I don't. As you said, I can't win the world. As one person said, a friend, when we formed Save America Ministries, he said, well, at least you didn't bite off more than you could chew. And I think about that. You know, it's true. But I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I should do. And by the grace of God, I will do. That's the message that we want to communicate here today, isn't it?
It is. And I am glad to meet your acquaintance, Chuck. Bless you. Bless your ministry. Bless those men out there who are standing watch, who are standing in the gap. And for those men that might be encouraged by this broadcast, it's never too late, never too late to stand in the gap for family and to stand in the gap for those who do not have a strong voice.
Well, that's the real change we can believe in, isn't it?
Yes.
Not all this other stuff. We can decry the culture, but if we're not raising up and doing our part in our home, where the heart supposedly is, home is where the heart is, we missed it entirely. So, friends, the Watchman, a clarion call for men to stand in the gap. The picture on the front of the cover is a man blowing the shofar. The Watchman, blow the shofar in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. The prophet Joel said, that's what we're doing here today. Jim Grassi, our special guest. And Jim, you're a blessing. I give you a holy hug here over the airwaves, my friend. And get the copy of the book, The Watchman, $10 on our website, friends, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. Become a partner. Don't wait for the other guy to do it, friends. There's a reason why we don't have commercial support for this program. Just got an article today that told me in screaming terms why that would be very unwise. God depends upon you. We depend upon God. As long as he provides the resources through his people, we'll continue on. God bless. Be a blessing. Let us be the men that God has had us to be. To stand in the gap, my friends.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.